Good afternoon. Good to see you all this afternoon. I'm Pastor Elena. I'm the pastor here at St. Luke's Lutheran Church, and I'm very excited to have you here. This is a special occasion. It's the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity, and for us in the Lutheran tradition, it is also the 500th year of the Reformation. So it's a special year that we're celebrating, and we're glad that you could all be here to join us in this Week of Prayer for Christian Unity. Us in the ELCA suffer a bit of guilt about all the many denominations in the world, so we like to get together and remember that we are one in Christ. Through baptism, we are all still one, and it takes our many voices to share the good news in the world. So it's important for us to get together and remember that we really are one. So I'm glad you could all be here to join us today. Right after worship, we're going to go downstairs for cookies and coffee and tea and all sorts so don't rush off after worship. Stick around for a time of fellowship. Our offering for today will be going to the Buffalo Transient Fund. So part of the Ministerial Association, part of the work we do is to help those who are transients in town. So the money goes towards bus tickets, hotels, and gas vouchers. So that will be our offering for today. And we're very excited to have the Methodist Choir and the St. Luke's and Friends Bells here to do the offertory song for us, so it might be difficult to give at that time, but you feel free to give any time for that. It's a good fund. We do some good work with that here in town. So if you're looking for restrooms, there's one here. Otherwise, go down the stairs and follow the lights. There's some down there, too. And coffee and cookies will be downstairs as well. So we'll go with that. All right. Good. And we'll start with the opening hymn. Please stand as you're able.
Thank you.
name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Grace and peace from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ, be with you all.
And also with you.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, this year many Christians and churches will be commemorating the anniversary of the Reformation. St. Paul reminds us that God has reconciled us through Jesus Christ, and that the love of Christ compels us to be ministers of reconciliation. So let us worship and praise God together in the unity of the Holy Spirit. And at this time, we'll do our confession. In the course of history, there have been many renewal movements in the church, which are always in need of deeper conversion to her head, Jesus Christ. Sometimes these movements have led to unintended divisions. So let us confess our sins and pray for forgiveness and healing for the wounds which have resulted from our divisions. We bring before you now the stones with which we erect our wall and pray for your forgiveness and healing. Amen. One stone in our wall is lack of love. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for whenever we have failed to love. We humbly pray. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. One stone in our wall is hate and contempt. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for our hate and contempt for one another. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is false accusation. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for denouncing and falsely accusing one another. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is discrimination. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for all forms of prejudice and discrimination against one another. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is persecution. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for persecuting and torturing one another. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is broken communion. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for perpetuating broken communion among our churches. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is intolerance. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for banishing our brothers and sisters from our common homeland in the past and for acts of religious intolerance today. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is religious wars. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for all wars that we have waged against one another in his name. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is division. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask for forgiveness for living our Christian lives divided from one another and astray from our common calling for the healing of all creation. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is abuse of power. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for our abuse of power. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is isolation. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for the times when we have isolated ourselves from our Christian sisters and brothers and from the communities in which we live. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
One stone in our wall is pride. Gracious God, the love of Christ compels us to ask forgiveness for our pride. We humbly pray.
Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us.
And let us pray. Lord our God, look upon this wall that we have built, which separates us from you and from one another. Forgive us our sins. Heal us. Help us to overcome all walls of division and make us one in you.
Amen.
You may be seated.
First reading is Ezekiel 36, verse 25 to 27. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Second reading is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14 to 20. For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view, even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So, if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has come new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us a mystery of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors of Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we enter you on behalf of Christ. Be reconciled to God, the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel acclamation. And let us join together. Alleluia.
Lord, to whom shall we go?
You have the words of eternal life.
Alleluia.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24. The Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Then Jesus said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me. So he divided his property between them. A few days later, the youngest son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pot that the pigs were eating, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I am dying of hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands. So he set up and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and the sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat with and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated.
Good afternoon. It's a great honor to be here with Elena and Doug and Kong Su and all of you, and I feel kind of comfortable in this pulpit because I've had the opportunity to be here a number of times, and so it's nice to see all you Lutheran friends here today too. I remember probably 30 years ago when Carl Waugh opened Wahoo Liquors. And there was this, I probably ran into her in the post office, some righteous, sweet little old lady in town came up to me and said, Reverend Miller, what this town doesn't need is another liquor store. And I said, yeah, I suppose you're probably right, but you know what else this town doesn't need? It's another church. The Chamber of Commerce in any community will boast about the number of churches in that community. And that list may or may not include temples and mosques. There's an assumption that the number of churches in a town is somehow a gauge of the degree of righteousness in that town. The more churches, the higher the standard of Christian character. But Paul would disagree with that. Paul, if you were in church this morning and heard this morning's scripture from the lectionary, he talked about the divisions that were already happening in the church in Corinth. Paul didn't boast that Corinth had a church of Paul and a church of Apollo and a church of Cephas. He feared such division in the body of Christ. Doesn't the proliferation of churches reflect disunity, disagreement, and conflict? The Buffalo Bulletin this week listed 17 churches in Buffalo, and I don't know if it includes them all. A flow chart of the history of the Christian church would just make your head spin. So here's a capsule of church history. Those churches to which Paul related and wrote his letters, they had no name. They met in homes, and there was no real organization to them. They were just assemblies of people who believed in Christ as a way to make life more meaningful and a way to glimpse the light of God in a way to salvage life from the ruin of social evils. It was only when they began to establish some kind of order to their churches, those assemblies, that the divisions started. To avoid disagreement, they thought they must need some official statement about what truly identified a real Christian. Thus, doctrines were written, which only caused greater divisions. Who was qualified to determine the doctrine of the church? And so, hierarchies were formed and authority was centralized. And with authority, there is always power. So church leadership quickly got located into the political domain. First, in the Roman Empire, the emperors had been threatened by the radical social justice of this Christian church. So they outlawed it. It was illegal to be Christians, and the Christians were martyred. But then the emperor Constantine had this miraculous, sudden conversion, and the emperor became Christian and passed a law, and suddenly it was illegal not to be a Christian, whether you liked it or not, or even if you understood what it meant or not. And the Holy Roman Catholic Church was established, and it grew in power and influence. It was the organization of Christianity. But not everybody was satisfied. There were those who felt that the church's inherent corruption and its tight control of faith was contrary to the teachings of Jesus. The church needed reform, and thus the Reformation, which we celebrate 500 years today, or this year. Martin Luther never meant to start a new church. He only wanted to tidy up the mess that the church had become. And in that, he was much like Jesus, who never meant to start a new religion. He only wanted to purify Judaism. And the Reformation was not an organized revolt against the Catholic Church. It took many different forms. So Alina's kind of opening apology in her introduction a while ago, we Lutherans had this guilt about how many churches there are. It wasn't Luther's fault. There were so many others who were also protesting the form that Christianity had taken. And so there came out of that Reformation in the one Catholic Church, which simply means unified. Instead of one Catholic Church, there were this whole bunch of Protestant churches, Protestant churches. And I've never liked that word or that term, because my membership is not a protest. It's an affirmation of my participation in the total Christian community. So the Reformation had a lot to do with polity, or how the church is organized, and the leadership and politics and all of that. And it had a lot to do with the corruption of the church. But it also had to do with theology. Whenever doctrines are stated, there will be those who challenge them. And honestly, church would be a lot easier if the Bible wasn't so often self-contradictory. It says one thing here, something completely the opposite somewhere else. And we tend to fall behind the one that suits us best. So established denominations continued to split over their interpretation of Scripture. And nothing in Scripture is insignificant. So churches are divided over issues such as, is baptism necessary to be a Christian? And if it is, does infant baptism count? Because the infant has no personal decision in that. There, in current society, there's huge ecclesiastical disturbance over matters of homosexuality and marriage equality. Churches are suffering from the wounds, often self-inflicted, by their inability to agree or to compromise. And these fractures break many hearts, and they break the spirit. Yet somehow the Scripture, which causes the problem, also has the power to heal the problem. The Word of God speaks to our hearts. How we interpret it or misinterpret it, that's up to us. A disciple asked the rabbi, why does the Torah teach us to place these words upon our hearts? Why does it not tell us to place these words in our hearts? And the rabbi answered, "It's because as we are, our hearts are closed, and we cannot place the Holy Word in our hearts. So we place them on top of our hearts. And there they stay until one day our heart breaks and the words fall in." Paul was greatly concerned about the integrity of the church. He did not want it split up in contentious competing factions. So we read here this afternoon from the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ, since God is making his appeal through us. We entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. To reconcile means to bring back together that which used to be together and no longer is. So we had this gospel story of the prodigal son, where son was reconciled to his father. In the beginning, humanity was one with God. And then, so the story goes, Adam and Eve, who were one with God, decided that they wanted to be like God. And they wanted to know the difference, as God did, between good and evil. And that craving to be something more than they were was the first evil. And by that sin, they split from God. And God has been trying to reconcile that separation ever since. As Paul explains that process, God sent Christ to reconcile the world back together with God, to restore the unity or the oneness with God. So think of Christ's work as at-one-ment. At-one-ment, that is atonement. And that can only be done by forgiving the sin that causes the separation. So Paul goes on to say that we are now ambassadors for Christ, and it's our job to carry on his ministry of reconciliation. Remember that on the night before he was crucified, Jesus prayed that all who believe in him might be one. Every time some theological conflict splits one church into two, Jesus must shudder and just say, "Oh man, that's not what I had in mind." Our several churches have come together here this afternoon to celebrate that which unites us. We have set aside our differences. We are just an assembly of people who believe in Christ as a way to make life more meaningful, and a way to glimpse the light of God, and a way to salvage life from the ruin of social evils. We are one in Christ and at one with God. Praise God. Amen.
And so we have taken our wall and made it into a cross. Please stand as you're able. And let us pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, we have heard your word that you have reconciled us to yourself through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. By the power of the Holy Spirit, transform our hearts of stone. Help us to become ministers of reconciliation and heal our church's divisions, so that we may better serve the works of your peace in the world.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
And let's share the sign of peace with one another. And now we sing the hymn, Now We Join in Celebration.
Thank you.
With the whole church, let us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's be at prayer. Almighty God, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to reconcile the world to yourself. May your Spirit awaken in every community a hunger and thirst for unity in you. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Gracious God, where faith is corrupted, purify it. Where people go astray, redirect them. Where they fail to proclaim your gospel, reform them. Where they witness to what is right, strengthen them. Where they are in need, provide for them. And where they are divided, reunite them. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Creator God, look with compassion on the whole human family. Take away the arrogance and hatred that infect our hearts. Break down the walls that separate us. Unite us in bonds of love so that every people and nation may serve you in harmony around your heavenly throne. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
Holy Spirit, Giver of life, awaken in us, in each of us, your compassion and love. Give us strength and courage to work for justice in our neighborhoods, to create peace within our families, to comfort the sick and the dying, and to share all we have with those who are in need. For the transformation of every human heart, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, hear our prayer. Amen.
You may be seated and we continue with the offering. Please stand as you're able. And let's join together in the offering prayer. I believe it's printed in your bulletin. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. For your goodness you have blessed us to cease to exist. Ourselves, our time, and our possessions. Use us and what we have gathered in feeding the world with your love. Through the one who gave
died for us. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise. It
is right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Because you sent Jesus to be our Redeemer and the Holy Spirit to be our Uniter, to find unity and bring us strength in our diversity. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Hallelujah. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Hallelujah. These are the gifts of God to the people of God. Take your remembrance that Christ died for you and feed on your heart with faith and thanksgiving.
This afternoon, we'll be communing by intinction, which means you'll get a piece of the wafer and then you'll dunk it into either the purple, which is wine, or the clear, which is grape juice. So, either one. You may be seated.
Thank you.
And we end our service with the lighting of the candles, so hopefully you have a candle. Does anybody need a candle? We need candles, okay. We need four candles up here if you could. All right. Symbolizes Christ, the light of the world. As ambassadors for Christ, we will carry this light into the world, into dark places where fighting, discord, and division impede our united witness. May Christ's light affect reconciliation in our present thoughts, words, and deeds. Take the light of Christ and carry it into the dark places of our world. Be ministers of reconciliation. Be ambassadors for Christ. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit come upon you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
And And our final hymn is, In Christ There Is No East or West. And if you can keep your candle lit through it, you get extra presents.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. And come down for cookies.